I think sometimes when you think he's nowhere around, it's when he's nearest. Amen. Believe that with all my heart. Greatest things that God has ever done in my life was when I just felt like I was all alone. Amen. He did say, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Amen. Thank God. You can be turning in your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 16 this morning. Matthew chapter number 16. There's folks praying and we're not going to rush them. Find Matthew chapter number 16. Thank you, Miss Janice. I appreciate that. Appreciate the good singing. Y'all pray for Brother Todd, he's not normal, but he's our piano player, and my son-in-law. But y'all pray for him. He's at Freaknik this morning. Everybody said, where's Brother Todd? I said, he's at Freaknik, and he was there all day long yesterday. We may have to turn him out of the church or something. I don't know. But no, I'm teasing. He's working. He's having to work security there. So you pray for him, all right? Matthew chapter number 16. Last Sunday morning, I brought the message on that extreme makeover. And I talked about at the end of the message, I talked about the relationship between the Christian and his church. And I've been building on that thought all week long, and I want to look at it just a little bit further this morning. And then I want you to ask yourself throughout the service, maybe, how is my relationship with my church? In other words, sometimes a husband and a wife, or the husband never does, but the wife will look at the husband and say, are we okay? How are we doing as a couple? And let's look at ourselves this morning as a member of this church and say, how am I doing as a church member? In my relationship with the Lord, how's it going? Amen. In my relationship with the Lord and through the Lord to the church, how is it going? Am I as excited about the church as I used to be? Do I still feel like I want to show up for everything? Have I lost my desire to be there on Wednesday night? Yes, sir. Have I lost my desire to sing or to be a part? Amen. Where am I at? The most exciting time in a marriage is those first months, isn't it? Y'all remember that? Come on. They call that the honeymoon, is that right? Yeah. But then as time goes on, the honeymoon's over. For the first 3 months, you drink out of a brand new glass every night because all those you got at your shower, you know. But after a couple of years, those glasses are broke and the pots and pans are scratched up and dented and the towels are frayed. And you know what I'm saying? Things begin to take a toll. Time does, and wear takes place. And when you wake up every morning, you're like, oh, your breath stinks. I mean, just kind of the newness of the marriage has wore off. Amen. And I think it's that way with the church sometimes. We get in a church, especially one like this. This is an exciting place. We see people saved every single week. Amen. I mean, boy, we keep the baptistry waters stirring. We got God moving and people in the altars pray. This is an exciting place. But did you know that you can just get used to it? Amen. You can get used to it. I wish sometimes, and I've told y'all this, I wish I had a big airplane and I could take y'all and let you travel with me some to some of these places where I preach. I'm not saying they're bad people, but they're not you. You preach your heart out. I mean, brother, you preach on the rapture. I mean, everybody, if you're saved, ought to be able to shout over that. And they just sit there like statues. And I'm like, look, don't y'all get it? Yeah. We're saved. We're going to heaven, man. Yeah. Especially up north. If you're a Yankee, God bless your heart. Yeah. Brother Larry Day reminded me before church, my wife and I are going a week from now. We leave to go to Rockhampton, Australia. And Brother Larry said, when you get down there, you'll be the Yankee. Amen. Yeah. But you get up north and they're just tight and just tense. But listen, when you can get used to this. Yeah, bro. To where it doesn't. Sometimes, and I may never even get to the message this morning, but sometimes I'm afraid we get used to seeing people saved. Yeah. some churches would flip out if they got to see and experience what we see and experience. Amen. I'm not saying we're the only church. We're not. There's great churches all over this area. But God has chosen to put His hand on this place. And I'm afraid that sometimes we just get at ease in Zion.
Amen.
Amen. In Matthew chapter number 16 and verse number 13, the Lord said, or the Bible said, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that Thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Oh, it's getting personal.
Yes, sir.
I don't want to know what the world says. I want to know what you think.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible said in verse 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ,
Amen.
The Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. He said, you didn't get this out of the sword of the Lord.
Right.
Amen. You didn't get this out of bread from heaven or one daily bread. You didn't get this from a periodical.
Yeah,
he said, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Amen.
He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. You can probably quote it, but I'm gonna give it to you anyway. Ephesians chapter 5, and look at verse number 25.
Amen.
Ephesians 5 and verse number 25. Where the Bible said, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it.
Amen.
Isn't it amazing how many times the church is compared to a marriage?
Yeah.
The Lord calls us His bride. We're going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. I think sometimes, you know, it's funny that those are the only two institutions that God put into place on this earth.
Yeah.
You understand that? The home and the church.
Amen.
The home and the church, the most two important institutions in the human race is the home and the church. And I'm afraid oftentimes, especially here in America, from what I can see, that those are the greatest two neglected institutions in America.
Amen.
The home and the church.
Amen.
We're living in a time where more attention and more focus and more care and more thought is given to government than it is the home. The government now would have you believe that your life depends not on your home life, but on your government. My life does not depend on Barack Obama, amen, or Miss Pelosi, or none of that crowd. My life and my home depends on the Lord Jesus Christ and His mercy and His love and His grace,
amen.
But the focus is being put in all the wrong places, amen. That home relationship and that church relationship is very important in our lives, amen. Sometimes our marriages, if we're not careful, they'll get in a rut.
Yeah.
Amen? I told you about the couple last week sitting at Red Lobster, probably in their late 50s, early 60s. We sat there for an hour and eight, and the whole time we just watched this couple. They never spoke. They never spoke. They didn't have anything to talk about. They'd probably centered their lives around raising their kids and not building a relationship with each other, so it's just like two strangers sitting there eating.
That's right.
Amen? The relationship requires maintenance. It requires attention.
Amen.
26 years ago when I stood in front of Brother J.M. Brooks and said, I do, that was 26 years ago. Every now and then she still needs to hear that.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
Every now and then she needs some attention. Every now and then I just need to put you aside,
amen,
put my hobbies aside, put my friends aside, and I need to spend some time with her.
Amen.
Why? Because that relationship needs that. It needs that communion.
Amen.
Are you with me this morning?
Amen.
Some of y'all look like you ain't got out of bed yet. Wake up this morning.
Amen.
Some of your marriages are in a rut right now. Amen. And it needs attention. And it gets just that way with the church. You know what I'm guilty of as a husband? Sometimes I take her for granted. I take her for granted. I just assume that no matter what, she's going to be what she is and she's just going to be there. I better not take her for granted too much. Amen. Some of you men never even stop and thank your wives for washing your filthy underwear. Amen. You never even stop and say, hey, honey, I just want to say thank you. That was a good supper, baby. I appreciate that. Amen. You just take her for granted. Oh, but you let her know when supper ain't ready, don't you? You let her know when the clothes ain't washed. Where's my socks? Come on, talk to me, ladies. Amen. You need to stop every now and then and say, hey, I'm grateful that God gave you to me. I don't deserve you. Most of us men don't deserve our wives. Amen. And some of you women don't deserve your husband. Amen. But we take each other for granted, don't we? And I think it's that way with the church. I appreciate Sister Donna standing up and saying, Sister Glenda standing up and saying what she did this morning. I really do. Because that's one thing that our church goes all out when somebody's in need. We're there. I mean, I'm talking about food, supper every night, coolers full of drinks. I mean, you name it, even down to his parking pass. I didn't think of that. But somebody did. Amen. I appreciate her standing up and saying thank you for being there when we needed you. Amen. Are we appreciative of our church? Or do we just expect it? You remember when the first time you had a need or you was close to somebody who had a need and you saw this church rally around them and you went, wow. And now if there's not 40 people at the hospital, well, where are they at? Amen. Boy, it's drying up on me quick this morning. If we want to maintain this, this ain't just going to stay this way by itself.
Amen.
The excitement, the joy, the seeing the hand of God move and work, it doesn't just maintain itself. It's going to require me and you to say, hey, Lord, thank you for a place where I can feel the Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord, where I have liberty to pray. Thank you, Lord, that I've got a church when I have needs. They know how to pray. They know how to get hold of God. Thank you, Lord, for putting me in a place where people love each other. Thank you, Lord, where they don't fuss, fight, and argue all the time. Thank you, Lord, that there's not always a threat of a split. Lord, I don't want to take my church for granted.
Amen.
Amen. Preach to you just for a few minutes on this thought this morning. I love this place. I love this place. Do you love your church? Do you love your church? I've had people come to me over the years who, when they got here, were so excited about everything, and then a couple of years, 3 or 4 years later, they come and say, preacher, we're just not happy and we're thinking about the same place it was when you got here. You just spent too much time examining everybody else and finding out how messed up we are. Amen. You need to quit looking at everybody else and just keep your eyes on the Lord. Amen. What drew you to this place to start with? Amen. It wasn't me. It wasn't Brother Freddie. And it wasn't Brother Charles. Well, it might have been Brother Charles. He's sweet and kind and gracious and wise and all that. It might have been him. I don't know. But it was the Lord, I guarantee you that. Amen? And let's not get in a rut in our church. I want it to be this way for my grandchildren when they're grown, if the Lord tarries. I saw little Harley out there. I wish I had a video. You should have seen him singing the congregational songs this morning. He looked like a country and western star. He was making all them faces and doing... Hey, man, you know what he's doing? He's learning. Let him alone. He's learning. He'll get her figured out one day. Amen. But brother, when we're dead and gone and we're in the grave and I'm nothing but a memory around this place and half the people here don't even know who I am, I want that same spirit to still be in this place. I heard a great preacher say this. It was Dr. Jack Hiles. Years and years ago, I was where he was preaching, and Dr. Hiles said, the problem in America is that great men go off the scene and lesser men take their place. Amen. And that's the truth. I mean, I could name some great churches who were leading churches in America that ain't even got a Bible anymore. You say, you mean they don't even have a Bible? Not what I consider a Bible. They got some Mickey Mouse version with cuss words in it, taking the blood of Christ out.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Watered down junk.
Amen.
What happened? Somebody dropped the ball.
Amen.
It wasn't the pastor who died. It was the deadheads on the pew who wouldn't say, hey, we ain't having that. No, sir, not around here. You get you a King James Bible or get in the road, bucko.
Yes, amen.
Y'all okay this morning? It's not time to pray. Don't bow your head. Amen. We ain't changing. No, we ain't having no praise and worship team. No, sir, no. Hey, I've got love in my heart when I preach this, but I'm just saying, it won't stay this way by itself. It'll take you and I loving it. It'll take you and I loving it. What makes my marriage work? I love her. Every now and then she'll look at me or I'll look at her and we'll say, I think I love you more now than I ever have. Love is not supposed to do like this and then just hit a level thing and plane out. It's supposed to grow. Do you love Jesus more today than the day he saved you? You ought to. You ought to, because the more you know him, whoo, the more you love him. Man, you just got in at salvation, but buddy, as you begin to learn, hey man, he's not just interested in my soul, but he's interested in my life. He wants to walk with me and talk with me. He wants to spend time with me. He wants to show me things out of that book. Man, I love him more now than I ever have. How about it? You're to love your church more now than you ever have. Amen. You know what makes me love it more? The more I learn about you, the more I learn just how real you are. And I've been around here long enough to watch how you interact with people and how you treat people. Maybe even people who's messed up. Maybe even people who's got out and got their lives all tore up and messed up. And then they come stumbling back in. And you just weep and cry and love them. It ain't like that everywhere, friend. I mean, I've been in churches, brother, where somebody can walk in, they're like, what does he think he's doing here? Or who does she think she is coming back in here? Amen. It's not like that in this place. I'm telling you, it's not like that in this place. Amen. We had a man in our church, left our church. A preacher. You'll know who he is, but people on the radio won't, so I ain't gonna say his name. He left his place, went and opened the bar.
Yeah, that's right.
Had a stroke and nearly died. He come walking down that aisle a couple Sundays ago on a cane. You know what people did? They shouted.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God.
I ain't wanting me no church where sinners ain't welcome. And I know
that
ain't good English, but I'm not going anywhere where the world is not welcome to come in and hear about the goodness of God. I'll give you a few reasons right quick and we'll go to the house why we ought to love this place. We ought to love this place because God loves this place. Amen? Hey, I just kind of naturally enjoy and love the things she loves. Amen. I like it because she likes it. She said she wanted to start riding bikes. I was hoping she meant Harleys, but she didn't. So I've had one for years. It's still brand new, by the way. I've had one for years, and it ain't even got the tires wore on it. That shows you how much I've rode it. She didn't have one, so we borrowed one from Miss Tina, and we went on the Silver Comet Trail. First day, she rode me 12 miles. 12 miles. 12. I said 12 miles. It's further than that. It ain't but 4 miles to my house. And I'm pedaling up a hill. She said, I love this. I said, me too, baby. And I'm dying, sweating, pouring. I mean, boy, you ever felt like your legs were on fire? I was going to pull my britches legs up and see if they were smoking, man. Then we come in, she come in Friday evening, she said, let's go do it again. I thought, oh. Do you know what? It's her I love being with. It sure ain't that bicycle. It sure ain't pedaling up and down them hills, amen? But I love being with her. We ought to love this place because God loves it. And if you don't think God doesn't love this place, why don't you go somewhere where God, that you just know he ain't there? Amen? I believe there's some of them that has figured out how to do it, and they're doing things their way, and they've got a new program, and they've got a new this and a new that, and God says, okay, y'all got it handled. I'm leaving.
Yeah.
Amen? But, buddy, God loves this place.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And he proves it over and over and over again. Man, it's amazing the miracles that we've seen. I'm not a healer, but I serve one.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. People all over this nation shouting for what God did in Ashley Hawford's body.
Yeah.
Cancer head to toe, and God just healed her.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, he loves this place.
Amen.
He loves this place. Sister Donna sitting in the balcony this morning, by all rights, ought to be dead.
Yeah.
But younger she is.
Yeah,
amen.
Yes,
who was, wasn't it, Warren, where'd you go? Wasn't it Ashley's mama who died? Yeah, Ashley's mama died. Is she here this morning? Miss Kathy. Yeah, man, they pronounced her dead. Well, it's getting quiet in here, ain't it?
Amen.
Brother Warren and them went in there, and they were outside or in there, I don't know, and just started praying, and her old heart started going bloop, bloop. Well, looky here. Amen. You say, I don't believe that. I don't give a flip if you believe it or not. Them doctors down there in Carrollton believe it, brother. Amen. Them doctors at that cancer clinic believe it, brother. Amen. God loves this place, so we ought to love it. We ought to love it just because he loves it. Amen. That's why we ought to love sinners too, because he loved them. Amen. We ought to love the church because God loves it. And we ought to love the church because God owns it. He said, on this rock, I will build my church. Amen. This ain't Eddie White's church. By the way, it's not yours either. Amen. It's not the deacon board's either. I don't have a deacon board. I got board deacons. Amen. Seriously, they don't own this place. You know, you go in some churches, there's a little group who thinks they do. Uh-huh. Do you know, there's a church over in Alabama. And I haven't seen it personally, but I've seen pictures. And this is typical of Alabama. I'm sorry, Brother Freddie, but it is. On one, it's got a gable roof like this, and on one side of the roof, the shingles are black, and on the other side, they're gray. Because this faction who thought they owned the church said it ought to be black, and this faction who thought they owned the church said it ought to be gray. Isn't that stupid? I don't give a flip. It's blue with purple polka dots on it. It doesn't matter. Amen. This is his church.
Amen.
Let me back up and say that again. This is his church.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so you know what? If it's his, I'm going to let him have his way.
Yeah.
Amen. We had the Lord's Supper scheduled for tonight. I got up this morning. I was driving to church, and the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, don't do it. Because we just have done it. We had to postpone it when we were supposed to have it, and we pushed it up. And it seems like we just did. I don't want it to lose the sweetness. Amen. I don't want it to become a Catholic formality, one of those things where we go in just like singing Amazing Grace.
Amen.
But when we take communion, I want to weep. Amen. I want to weep, and I want to feel the presence of the Lord and the realness of his suffering. Amen. Well, I'm just saying, I just want to mind God.
Amen.
Brother William called me the other day. He said, you know, we just did communion, but it's on the calendar for this Sunday. You want to go ahead? I said, well, if it's on the calendar. The Holy Spirit said this morning, who's running that place, that calendar or me? I said, you, Lord.
Amen.
We'll put her off. Amen. He owns it. This is his church.
Amen.
Amen. Those are his buses out there. You ever seen them bus kids surrounding Miss Donna this morning? Woo! Those are his bus kids. Oh, you get aggravated at them, but they're his. Hey, so you know what that means? Got to love them too. Amen. Hallelujah. One pastor said, one church said, we don't want buses, all them oil stains on our parking lot. Wonder what was left on Moody's parking lot. He hauled them in a horse and wagon. You figured out. Amen. I'll take the gas and oil, won't you? We ought to love this place because it's a place that God loves. We ought to love this place because God owns it. Amen? Yeah. We ought to love this place because of what it cost. We ought to love this place. You know what you do? Your valuable stuff. You don't put a Tupperware in a safe, do you? But boy, if you got some of that high dollar expensive something, you're gonna put that up, ain't you? Huh? Because of its value. You're going to prize it. Huh? We were out on visitation a few weeks ago, and me and Brother Jason talked to this guy in his yard, had a beautiful, beautiful new GMC truck, and it was all jacked up. I mean, that thing was that high off the ground, and it was sharp. Jason said, "You ever take it in the mud?" He said, "No." I mean, you jacked up four-wheel drive with mud tires that tall, you'd think mud, right? No, I've got too much invested in this to take it in the mud. Amen. Amen. Wow, it was valuable because of its price. This church ought to be valuable to us because of its price. You know what it cost? It cost heaven everything.
Amen.
Amen. Look at Acts chapter number 20. Acts chapter number 20. I know I got too long an introduction. I got to hurry up. Acts chapter number 20. I'm telling you, man, this place is worth something. Acts chapter number 20. Look at verse number 28. He said, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God," watch this, "which he hath purchased with his own blood."
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. What we're sitting in this morning is blood bought.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about the building.
Yeah.
The building's only here because we are. Amen?
Yes, sir.
We're the church.
Amen.
And he purchased that with his own blood.
Amen.
He said, "Love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it." If he was willing to die for it, brother, it must be valuable.
Amen.
Amen. I ain't got nothing valuable enough, earthly possession-wise, that I would die for. If somebody came to my house and said, "I'm fixed to shoot you or that dog. See you, puppy dog. Right here, I'll put a spot on his head and make a target here, right there. I'm going to shoot you or one of them horses." Shoot the horse. Amen. I ain't got nothing of value. No value whatsoever. Amen. But this was so important to Christ, and it was so valuable to him, he died for it. We ought to love this place because God loves it. We ought to love this place because God owns it. And we ought to love this place because of what it cost. Amen. We ought to love this place because it's a place of worship. Psalms chapter 5 and verse number 7, the psalmist said, "But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple." It ought to be a place of worship. Now listen, I know people, everybody's not as emotional as I am. But you're emotional. I say it all the time. Woo! That's an emotion. So is this. There's no way you can convince me that that's worship. We okay this morning? You can't convince me. That's not worship. We ought to love this place because it's where... Oh, you can worship anywhere. But when we come here, we get to do it collectively as a whole.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You know what I'd do? Brother Freddie would get happy, and I'll draw off of his happy.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. You ever been in a crowd where somebody starts laughing?
Yeah.
And you don't know what they're laughing about, but you get tickled? Come on, talk to me. You ain't got a clue what they're laughing at, but you get tickled too. Huh? It just rubs off. Amen. So you come in here feeling like a low-life, ragged dog. All your bills is backed up, the car's broke down, the washing machine's broke, everything in your life's going wrong, and you feel like just sticking a gun in your mouth and pulling the trigger, but you come to church and you see them shouting over Miss Donna, and you got, woo-hoo! I mean, something just changed. You come in here and worship the living God. Amen. The old song said, brethren, we have met to worship. Oh, we have prayer meeting on Wednesday night, but you know what else? We won't worship. We're going to worship the Lord every time we walk in this place.
Yeah,
I don't care if it's just work day. We're going to worship the Lord.
Yeah,
speaking of working around here, Brother Lamar, thank you. He keeps this place looking good with that lawnmower. Amen.
Yeah.
I appreciate him and his son-in-law both, and I appreciate him. I don't tell him enough, but brother looks good. It doesn't matter what we're doing. We're going to worship God.
Yes, sir.
Aren't you glad you're in a place where you can worship? Church in Pennsylvania comes to a lot of our meetings. They came one year to our youth rally. And their kids, no, they came to Youth Ablaze up in New York where I was preaching. And their kids got all excited. I mean, they got on fire for God. And they went back home, and that Sunday morning, the people were singing, and one of the little girls just lifted her hands. And an older lady in the church got up out of her seat, went to that little girl in the service and said, honey, I don't know where you've been, but we don't do that here. I thought, my soul, we do that here.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is you ought to love this place because you're in a place where you can worship.
Amen.
When God blesses you, you can express it. I'm not talking about a bunch of charismatic junk. Y'all all right?
Yes.
I ain't talking about flopping around on the floor. No, I'm talking about just old-fashioned worship.
Amen.
Amen. God's been good to you. You'll lift your hand. Try it. Try it. Come on, just try it. Just try it. It ain't hurt you one bit. It ain't hurt you. You say, well, I got a bad shoulder. Take some Advil and give him some glory anyway.
Yes,
amen. I'm glad we're in a place where we can worship the Lord. I love it for that.
Yeah.
Amen. I get in some of them stiff, tight places. It's so good to come home on Sunday morning. My young'uns and gets to singing, and Miss Janice and Bibba, they get to singing. I just get happy. Woo-hoo! It's good to be home. Amen.
Amen.
We ought to love the church because it's a place of worship. We ought to love the church because it's a place of preaching and teaching God's Word.
Amen.
Amen. How many of you sat in Brother Freddie's Sunday school class this morning? Raise your hand. Did y'all get anything? Huh? I mean, did he load your wagon? Was it probably more than you could absorb? I've never heard him teach where it was. How many of you sat in Brother Charles' class this morning? Not near enough of you. Oh, listen, did you get anything? Oh, it's the same way. How many of you sat in Brother Warren's class this morning? Did you get anything? I'm amazed. Amen. I'm telling you, this is a place where God's Word is taught.
Amen.
Amen. This is a place where God's Word is preached. We were looking at building designs one time. Brother Freddie will remember this, and we had a company come who helps churches, and they help you design your property and your building and all that. You remember that? We sat right back there in my office, and the guy looked at us. This is what he said. He said, what type of service do you have? He said, is it drama? Do y'all focus on drama? I said, oh yeah. He said, praise and worship? I said, oh, yeah. I knew what he was talking about. He said, what are your services built around? I said, the pulpit. I love the singing as much as anybody in this place.
Amen,
but this church is going to be built on preaching.
Yes. Amen.
We grew up in a time where people would say, how was your service? Man, it was great. The preacher didn't even get to preach. Every now and then, that's all right. But when it gets to where I believe I've been in services where people stood up to testify just to keep the preacher from preaching. Watch it dry up on me here. That ain't right, brother. Amen. When God's in it, the pastor knows it. Amen. But I'd sit and watch them. I've seen it happen. They're just testifying to keep him from preaching. They've already been here long enough. And they know if somebody don't say something else, he's going to preach. But guess what? I'm going to preach.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to preach in this place.
Yes, sir, brother.
And we're not going to have guys in who don't preach.
Yeah.
Amen. You got that, don't you, Brother Dean? I mean, you got to let it rip tonight. When we have guest preachers in this church, they're going to preach.
Yeah.
And if they're not preaching, I'll set them down.
Yeah. That's good.
Amen. We ought to love this place because we know if we get our family there, they're going to get preached to. They're going to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm trying to think of a phone call. I'm going to shut this down in just a second. I know it's getting late. I got a phone call. Oh, I know who it was from. It was from Brother Lloyd Latham. Brother Lloyd Latham has started his church. He's out of our church, and he started a church over in Douglasville. And boy, it's doing good and growing and baptizing people. They got a big youth meeting coming up he's telling me about. But he said that he had a young lady and her husband got saved. I think Brother William used to work with them or something. And they went to one of those, touchy-feel-good churches.
Yeah.
Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? Where they don't preach on nothing. They'd been going there, Brother William, you help me if I'm wrong, but several years. Like maybe 5 years, I believe he said. Been going to that church 5 years. They visited their house after they visited Brother Latham's church, and he asked her about her salvation. You know what she said? I really don't know. And he asked her this question. He said, from your point of view, what do you think it takes for a person to get to heaven? You know what she said? I don't have a clue. That's a bad testimony for that church, isn't it? If you come here 5 years and you don't hear a clear presentation of the gospel, get rid of me. I know some of y'all think I preach it too much. Well, they thought Paul did too. Amen. We're in a place we know we can bring our lost loved ones in here. And you can say, preacher, I got my cousin with me today, and he's not saved. You pray.
Amen.
I know what you're saying. I got my lost cousin with me today, preacher. You better let him have it.
Yeah.
You better tell him about Jesus. You better tell him about hell. You better tell him about heaven. I know what you mean.
Yeah, brother.
And I'm glad to oblige you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes, sir,
amen. Wouldn't it be pitiful if you went out there and prayed and cried and begged God for your family member to come or your friend or your coworker to come, and you prayed all week and you finally got them to say, yeah, I'll come, and they came, and the preacher never said nothing about the Lord. He never said anything about salvation. He never said anything about needing your sins forgiven. He never said anything about God changing your life. He never said anything about being born again. Would you be disappointed? I was, and I'm going to quit. I promise. Sister Janice, come to the piano if you would, you and Elizabeth, and that'll help me hush. I was in a hotel where I was preaching, and I flipped the TV on, and I got to that TBN, that trash broadcasting network. You better be very rooted and grounded if you watch that stuff. But y'all forgive me. I know somebody ain't going to like it. But the big shot preacher was on. Brother Joel, Sunday morning in that Coliseum, 20-something thousand people. You know what he preached on? For 45 minutes, your diet. Yes, he did. There's nothing wrong with that, but he didn't add nothing else to it. He talked about how good it was for you to eat fruits and nuts. Say amen, Glenda. That's all he talked about. For 45 minutes, and I thought, I can't believe this. He's got 20,000 people sitting there, and he's talking about apples and oranges. He could have said, y'all to eat right, but y'all to die right.
Yeah.
Amen. I can build me a sermon on that right there.
Yeah.
Amen. Y'all to eat right. You'll take care of the body God give you, but what about the soul?
Yeah.
I'm glad we're in a place. You come in here, you'll hear the gospel preached. Amen?
Amen?
We ought to love this place because God loves it. We ought to love it because He owns it. We ought to love it because of what it cost. We ought to love it because it's a place of worship. We ought to love it because it's where the Word of God is taught and the Word of God is preached. We ought to love it because it's a place where God's people gather. We ought to love it because it's a place where sinners are sought and loved. I could preach on that one for a while. Amen. I remember. I'll be careful. I remember the first Sunday back in the old building. Brother Charles will remember this too. Little black kid rode one of our buses into church. Fella looked me dead in my eyeball, said one of two things fixing to happen. She goes or I go. Brother Charles tell you, I'm telling you, honest as before God, I looked him right back in his face. I said, brother, I'm going to miss you. Amen. Don't you flip out when you see some fella come in here with a ponytail and tattoos. Piercings in his ears or anywhere else. They welcome. Amen. It's just our job to tell them. It's God's job to turn them. Amen. I'm glad sinners are welcome in here. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Let's just bow our heads all over the house. Let me ask you a couple of questions this morning. Do you still love your church? Even though you've got used to all my illustrations and you know all my jokes, you've heard everything I know at least twice, do you still love it? Are you still compassionate about it? Are you still excited about it? I hope so. If not, maybe you ought to just get down here on the altar this morning, renew your vows, just like you would with your spouse. Lord, help me to fall in love with my church again. Maybe you've never fallen in love with it. Maybe you've never even been a part of it. Maybe because you're not part of God's family. Maybe you're here this morning, you've never been saved. You're not sure if you died right now, heaven would be your home. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing, but if you'd slip up your hand, I'd love to pray for you. Say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Please pray for me. Anybody like that? Preacher, pray I fall in love with my church again. Pray I get excited about what God's doing around here again. Anybody like that? Ought to be hands all over the place. Mine's up. Amen. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you again this morning, thank you, God, for a good day. Lord, thank you for Miss Donna sitting in that balcony this morning. Lord, how that just filled our hearts with joy and excitement. And we thank you for it and give you the glory. Now, God, you've seen every hand that was raised this morning. Lord, you know every heart. And Lord, we ask you just please have your way in this altar call. And Lord, I pray that you would just turn our hearts just back to the things of God. Lord, help us to have that joy and excitement, Lord, about what you're doing. Help us to leave here excited when we leave. Help us to be excited when we come, anticipating what you're going to do. Father, we do love you. And Lord, you have your way, and we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.